As the world changes, so does leadership. Hello, I'm Carlos Martin, host of Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. On Leadership Evolving, we bring you real talk about mindset, resilience, culture, influence, and purpose. Every episode features thought leaders, innovators, and everyday visionaries sharing insights, experience, and strategies you can use. Let's explore how your voice can help others evolve their leadership. Watch Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television and step into the leader you are becoming. And today, we explore what it takes to lead with purpose and impact. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. Hello, and welcome to Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin, and I usually have a guest. You can't see them. That's because they're not here today. So I opted to be the host and the guest, not because I want to hear myself talk or not from an ego point of view, but more of, you know, I see a lot of clients and you start to see patterns or a data gather, if you will. That sounds a little bit colder. So I talked to the producers. I'm like, I would like to talk about this. And they gave me the thumbs up. So here we are. So I want to talk about four pillars for today. And those four pillars that we're going to be talking about will be emotional awareness. The second pillar/segment will be perception becomes our reality. That's a good one. And the third one's going to be emotional energy and frequency. I need you to be open for that one, but that's a really good one. And the last one would be triggers, patterns, and emotional reaction. I deal with that a lot with my leaders. So let's go back to pillar number one, which is emotional awareness. What is that? Well, just like the term says, we are aware or ought to be aware of our emotions. Now, most of our emotions stem mainly from four emotions, which is fear. See if I remember these: fear, sadness, joy, and anger. But there's so many emotions around that, but those are our go-tos. And I think Brené Brown has done an amazing job of just bringing awareness to this. And she, and I'm kind of quoting her when she says, we're pretty illiterate as a society to describe our emotions. And I couldn't agree with her more. So how do we begin to bring literacy to this? And what does that mean? For example, if I'm working with a client, he or she, you know, fear comes up. Probably fear and anger are the main ones that come up within coaching. But for me, it's like, how do we go deeper? Because fear could, you know, and I'm looking at my computer here, it can be, you know, concern, it could be stressed out, it could be guilt, it could be shame. But you see the difference. A lot of them might come from an emotion like anger or sadness. But as we begin to peel the onion back, we bring literacy to our own emotions. And what does that do? Well, we're able to, as a coach, we could better understand and help our client. But it's not only for the coaches, but it's also for the individual. Because again, it's so easy to say I'm just angry or I'm sad. And sometimes we say blue, but what is it? What do we do as we dive deeper? For example, we might be disappointed, or we might be discouraged, or we might be lonely. But that lonely might just come out as sadness, which is fine. But that we begin to, it's kind of like we seek to understand. So when we have better literacy, we're able to better communicate not only to others, but to our coach and to ourselves, because we begin to really understand ourselves a little bit more. So it's almost like that self-awareness that you probably hear a term, you know, so often. And one thing is when I start to see people blame others, you're the cause. It's my significant other, my boss, or, you know, a lot of this,
That's when I think we need to go deeper, because for every one finger pointing at someone, there's three pointing back to us. And that is when I encourage people, when we start getting to that stage, to it might not feel natural, but to go in a little bit deeper. So again, understanding, and you can have like an emotional wheel of this to help you. So when I'm working with clients, a lot of times I put a picture up and say, you know, not that I want to plant any words in, because that's not my job, but a lot of the times it could be, again, disappointment or discouragement. And we're going to, I was going to say attack it, that sounds horrible, but we're going to proceed in a very different way instead of just being angry. So for example, when I wake up every morning, these are some of the habits that I have, and I don't do this every morning, but there's days that I feel blah, I feel sluggish, I feel blue, or I really don't know. I'm not mad, but I'm not super happy. I could be content. Like sometimes I don't even know. Maybe just because it's a lack of, maybe I'm tired or just the lack of coffee, whatever that is. So what I usually do is look into, you know, there's a really cool bracket, and I forgot his name. We'll put it down later. His name is Mark. He studies at Yale. And so I want to give him some credit. And he has this really cool chart where he talks about, you know, low pleasantness and high energy. So from low to high energy, and how pleasant you feel from low to high. So a lot of the times when I'm feeling low, let's say in the morning where I'm struggling, so I kind of check in. And so by having literacy around emotions, it helps me better understand me. To, you know, we always hear the term, you know, let me do a temperature check. That is how I do it. So say, for example, I wake up and say, okay, I don't know what I'm feeling. And then I'll kind of go down the list here. And, you know, I might feel a little discouraged that day. And then say, why? Well, maybe because I've been working my butt off and I didn't get the likes or impressions on my LinkedIn, or I was supposed to get this big deal with the client and it didn't go through or didn't happen. Or maybe I'm disappointed, right? In regards to, I'm disappointed that I've been doing X, Y, and Z and I haven't seen the results. But you start seeing a pattern here. So I better understand myself. Or maybe I'm easygoing, maybe I'm just calm. So instead of thinking, oh, I'm sad or discouraged, maybe I'm just, you know, one of the words here that Mark has, maybe I'm calm, maybe I'm at ease, maybe I'm okay. Oh, there's times that I wake up maybe feeling a little bit more energy, but like it's starting to feel a little bit more like anger. Why? I don't know. And then I start looking in. And most of the time it's stress. Maybe I'm stressed out and it's showing up as high energy, which I think it's anger. And it really is stress. Or maybe I'm frustrated. Those come in. Or maybe I'm apprehensive or I'm uneasy. But you start seeing a pattern here is that, and I'm giving you lots here. I get it and I understand. But it's meant to for you to dig in a little deeper into where you are, into the emotions. And again, we could better understand ourselves. So say I want to go, you know, I don't want to stay in the, he has it in the blue section. I want to start to feel a little bit better. What do? I start going to gratitude. What is it that where am I? How am I doing? And I start to shift my energy to maybe to a pleased, to a pleasant, to a joyful, to a lively, whatever that is to you. So again, kind of asking yourself, how am I feeling today? And try to look at one of these emotional wheels and try to describe it. And how is this helpful? You might say, okay, Carl, this is fantastic. Now I got you. Now I'm feeling frustrated because I'm hearing you and I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's good. why are you frustrated? Is it because you don't understand me? Is it because you're feeling uncomfortable? You see where I'm going? You could go down the rabbit hole, whatever that is for you. It's not necessarily about me. So this is giving you, it might give you more questions than answers at the beginning, and just be okay with that. I'm not here to tell you, to give you answers. As a coach, we coach from behind. Our job is to dig deep and ask questions. Obviously, we're on the air, so this is very different. But I'm trying to plant seeds of curiosity for you to seek to understand yourself. What is that emotion, that undercurrent that's coming behind fear or anger, whatever that might be? Again, most of the emotions, they like I mentioned, they stem from those four emotions, which is anger, sadness, joy, and happiness. Think about it this way before I leave you. All the colors in the world, they come from three colors: red, green, and blue. All the colors. It's kind of the same thing when you think about the emotions. So all the emotions that we have. So imagine if we were to describe a color where it's just three. Oh, that color is red. And if you're working with an interior designer, good luck. Oh, no, that's chartreuse. That's burgundy or whatever it is. It's a type of red. So, but imagine if you're describing all the colors as red, blue, or green. And that we have so many. So it's kind of the same concept when you start thinking about emotions. Think about it. If you kind of use that analogy, that you're better able to describe what, not only what you're feeling, but also what you need, so you could be able to communicate that to your significant other, maybe the people that you're leading, maybe with your boss when you're managing up, whatever that is. So hopefully I left you more with more questions than answers. And if I did, I think that's a success. And again, I'm not here to give you answers, but I'll hopefully give you more questions for you to take the time to process for you and begin to look inward. Don't go anywhere. We have pillar numero dos coming up. Stay tuned. This is Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
Welcome back to Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. So if you're just joining us, we were talking about in our last segment about emotional awareness and bringing hopefully some more literacy around our emotions and feelings and how effective that can be. So now on this segment, I want to talk about perception creates a reality. What in the world does that even mean? I'll give you an example. I work with a lot of leaders, like I mentioned earlier, and we work on leadership alignment. We work on awareness and how they are. So one of the tools that I use often is what's called a 360 interview. And what does that look like? And what is that? So it's a survey that I sent out to the leader, and it's based on about 125-ish questions. It's a lot, but it takes about 20 to 30 minutes to fill out. And that's sent out to him or her as the leader, and also to all their stakeholders. What are stakeholders? People that they work, they interact, and so forth. People that they're leading, people they're interacting with. So in this case, people they're leading, but also their significant other, maybe their best friend, whatever that might be, because again, I want to be able to get a 360 point of view on how or she is and how they perceive themselves. Where am I going with this? So perception becomes a reality. For example, a leader might perceive themselves as being open, that, you know, I'm very empathetic, that, you know, the people that I'm leading, they're great, they love me, you know, but the reality is that there could be a huge gap. So when we look at that 360, there's also a space for them to write actual notes. Now, they don't know who it's coming from, but they get to read them. And let me tell you, it is a big eye opener. So for example, you know, to the leader that he or she might say, yeah, my door is always open, I'm very empathetic. Some of the comments might say, yeah, no, it's we do whatever he or she says, or it's, you know, they're very dismissive, or it's their way or the highway, or, you know, it's very difficult to be working with this person. I mean, I could go on and on, and you start to see the disconnect. But the reality is the perception becomes the reality. That is the reality, whether right or wrong. And again, this is not about right or wrong. It's about how you think, how you see yourself, your identity, your philosophy, everything, that your personal narrative, right, that we go into. And that could bring a disconnect between how you see yourself, how your significant other see yourself, and how your stakeholder see yourself. I'll give you an example. I was working with this individual, and he was very different at home than he was at work. And you might say, well, yeah, that's supposed to be common. Well, I see it kind of different. Most of the time when I'm looking at how of an effective leader you might be, is having be really good between a task-driven, but also relationship-driven. And as we become leaders, we go up, we're really good at task. Okay, I got this, ROI, reports, KPI, we're really good about that. But then we start to lose the relationship. We start to lose the connection with our stakeholders, the people around us. Why? Because we are so focused on getting things done, and we live in a place of here, the mind, which is the logic, the ROI, which is good, and we need that. And what I encourage my clients to do is live or bring in more of a place of heart. What does that mean? More on the emotional, more on the attachment, more getting to know our people. How do you bring in the humanity back into the workplace? Because a lot of the times we become a little callous or a little cold, if you will, and not because we're bad people, but because maybe corporate, our environment tells us to go, 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 and go, which is great. But how do you go and connect with your folks? So again, our perception becomes a reality, and that's just a great tool to give my leader information, but also our stakeholders. And it's okay, so all of a sudden we have that information with you as a leader and the stakeholders, and now what? So yeah, there's a lot of data that's coming in, but now we get to process that. Why do you tend to be this way? Why do you tend to use those words? Why do you tend to be a little bit more cold? Like I was saying, if I go back to one of my old clients, that he was very warm at home with a significant other and very cold at work. And I asked him, and he said, well, that's home and this is work. This is my wife. These are, you know, people that I work with. And I said, well, you're right. But imagine if you're, you know, when you're married, you know, you're dating, you get to know that person and see, make sure it clicks, right? And I'm not saying have a romantic relationship at work, but what I'm saying is get to know them. Have a human connection, not a transaction. And you'd be surprised how much you could get more into alignment. How do you get to know them? And again, it doesn't have to be romantic, but it could be a friendship. I don't know why it's frowned upon to have someone that you lead could also be a friend. Now, you could create healthy boundaries around that. You could still be direct. You could still be soft. You could still be amicable. But really say, tell me more about you. So that way you get to know them better. And I tell you what, when I work with leaders, they're not necessarily connected. They call themselves leaders. But when they really look, when we started working here, they look behind them and there's not necessarily many people leading them. So when it's really a true leader, I don't say a true leader, more of an effective leader, is when you're doing both. When you are living from a place of logic and running a business, but also connecting with heart, connecting with those other folks. Now, again, what is the value? So I'm going to go and speak the logical mind to that individual, that CEO, director, whoever it is that's listening right now, or any type of leader. Like, what is the benefit? Like, no, I need to be, this is the kind of leader because I can't be soft. Well, I disagree. I think you could do both. You could be direct. You could have structure and be, you know, soft. That's kind of relative. Or you could really connect with those individuals on a personal to personal level. So what is the benefit? The benefit that I've seen on a personal level and the benefit that I've seen with my clients, they're actually going to work harder. They're probably going to not leave the company as much as a company does when you start losing people. Why? Because we hear that term all the time is like, people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses. I've been that person. I left because of bosses, and many of you have. And I think that's okay, because there's a lot to learn from good bosses and there's a lot to learn from bad bosses. So they all get to play something here. But when you're working with your team, get to know them. Again, you know, that's what they have those, you know, what do you call those when you go and go golfing, go and have a glass of wine, or team building. That's what it is. You're getting to know them, right? So it's not just a, okay, let's do a team building, just check the list. Like, no, really go out there. I remember we were doing a team building once, and this one rep of mine comes up to me and said, it starts wanting to talk about business. And I said, today's not the day. Like, what do you mean? Like, today's not the day. Let's have fun. Let's have a couple of drinks. You know, let's just chat. Like, how amazing is that to really get to know? Like, I know it might be, you know, blowing your mind right now to say, wait, you expect me to be their leader and on top to be a friend? Why not? I want to make sure I change that narrative that somehow it's frowned upon, especially in corporate. And I think now with the new workforce that coming in, that's what they're really looking for, to be seen, to be heard, to be connected. And now, not just, you know, we're not in the olden days of Jack Welch, I think his name was, with General Electric, where you like just led with fear. I think those days are behind us. Now they're kind of coming back a little bit, but I think if we lead from a place of kindness, from a place of love, from a place of empathy, from a place of connection, you're going to be more an effective leader. And again, I'm not saying to always be here. That's not what I'm saying. But if we could go from here to here and see what your team needs, I think you would be a lot more effective. I don't know if I could say I know that for a fact, but I get to see it. I when you do this like myself on a daily basis, you start to have a different perspective and say, wow, I know it sounds simple, but try it out. Get a coach, get a 360 interview, start looking, see if there's any gaps, talk to your folks, connect with them, and you start to see your team hopefully grow a lot more. Hope that made a little bit of sense. Reach out to me if you have any questions. You could find me on LinkedIn. You could find me on Instagram. You could find me on YouTube. But for this format, probably LinkedIn is probably the best. Reach out to me, send me a DM, and we could chat a little bit more. I'm your host, Leadership Evolving. We'll be right back on our next segment. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
Welcome back to Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. And if you've been listening to the show, we have talked about emotional awareness. And then we talked about perception becomes a reality. The emotional awareness is getting to know more about literacy around our emotions. And then the perception becomes our reality, that whatever we perceive to be real. And then if somebody else, their perception is real, so then who's right? And it's not necessarily about being right or wrong, it's just different. So now I want to talk about emotional energy and frequency. I'm going to ask you to be a little bit more open for this one. And why do I say that? Because this could be perceived, talk about perception, this could be perceived a little bit more woo-woo. But there's a little bit of science behind it. So our emotions carry energy that people can feel. Have you ever gone and you're feeling good and you're smiling and all of a sudden it's just, you find yourself, more people are smiling at you or more, you know, happier people, you know, cross your path. Or I love this one, when you're in a hurry, you might not be in the best of mood, you're driving, you have to get somewhere quickly and everybody cuts you off. And all of a sudden the traffic slows down and this little older lady, grandpa or grandma cuts you in and it's, you know, driving Miss Daisy. You're like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. Well, that is all energy. And that may be energy that we are creating. So where am I going with all this? So when we talk about emotions, they all carry a certain frequency. So Abraham Hicks made this very, very popular where she calls it the emotional guidance scale. So to kind of give you a little bit of context here, when we look at the lowest frequency, the lowest, it usually fear, grief, desperation, despair, and powerlessness. And as we start to go up, so I'll give you all the way to the top. The top usually is joy, freedom, and love. That's at the top frequency. And there's a lot in between. So from the bottom up, fear again is grief and desperation is one of the lowest. And what does that mean? That it starts to drag you. When you are dealing in a place of love and positivity and belief, that tends to be a little bit lighter. So I notice if I'm dealing, not all the way down, but say I'm a little jealous. Jealous is pretty down in the frequency, or anger. Believe it or not, jealousy is actually lower than anger. What I notice is that I get people that call me that they're not in a good place. So for example, I have a good friend of mine, but sometimes he just drains my energy. So I noticed that when I'm dealing in a lower frequency, those are the people that come my way, which is kind of weird and odd. But if I'm optimistic, I'm joyful, I get those nice texts or emails from friends or clients. A client's like, hey, I want to move forward with that big contract. Or a friend of mine is like, hey, I got free tickets to go to this ball game, whatever it is. And you start to think like, wait, what's going on here? There's something behind this. The way that I look at this and many people is like, we're almost an antenna. We become the antenna. So your antenna, if you are putting out there the frequency of desperation, of grief, guess what you're going to get? You're going to tune in into more of that from other people, and you're just going to get more of that. Or if you are that antenna, if you will, of positivity and optimism, then you're going to get that more. So I started playing with this. I'm like, okay, how truthful is this? And I went this several years ago. So I've been working on this. So I look at it as almost again, like a radio. We get to tune that frequency. So like I was saying earlier, so if I find myself maybe down, I don't know what's going on. And a lot of the times, disappointment is down there. Or doubt, the famous imposter syndrome, doubt. That's going a little bit on the lower side. Blame, even lower. Discouragement, even lower. And anger behind that. So you start to see that is very weighing on us. It takes a lot of energy from us, and we get to connect with other people that are like that. So how do you begin to move the dial up a little bit? I know, I understand. So people that are a little bit reluctant listening to me, you're like, what is this guy talking about? Try it out. I encourage you to try it out. So if you're feeling a little bit of pessimistic or disappointment or worried or jealous a little bit, and look it up. It's called the Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance. And say, okay, how do I go from the bottom to the top? And that might be kind of a difficult leap. So what I do, say I'm in the jealousies, for example. I'm jealous because another person got the got that speaking engagement that I wanted to get, or that other, you name it, whatever you're going to be jealous about, right? I'm like, how can I go a little bit higher? Okay, boredom, believe it or not, it's a lot higher. And I don't know how we went frowned upon to be bored, because now we feel like we have to be doing something all the time. So boredom is actually a lot higher. Contentment is a lot higher. Being optimistic is much higher. So if I'm down there in jealousy, I'm like, okay, what do I have in my life to be more optimistic about? And that takes me into gratitude. That takes me into, you know what? I have a good life. I'm an executive coach. I get to help other people. You know, I receive emails and texts from my clients like, thank you so much. I was having this conversation earlier that one of my clients a while ago, I think it was last year, called me and he said, you have a couple of minutes? I'm like, yeah, sure. What's going on? I just want to say thank you. Yeah, sure. For what? And he said, you're helping me out with my wife. I said, I don't think we ever talked about your wife. He said, but my wife came up to me and said, thank you. You have changed. So we started to bring awareness to his emotions and how he was. So it starts to change you. You start to be different, not only around yourself, but around other people. And people start to see that. So for me, I bring gratitude that I get to do that for others. So as soon as I start bringing in gratitude to myself, it brings joy to me. It brings love. It brings enthusiasm. It brings happiness. And guess what? That is a lot higher. Call it magic. Call it placebo, if you will. I start to feel better, right? Because now my energy starts resonating at a higher level. I feel lighter. And on top of that, I get to connect. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I usually get that phone call. I get that extra business. Sometimes it's business, but sometimes it's just connectedness, right? It doesn't have to be about money. So I encourage you to do that. Look it up and find yourself, kind of like when we talk about the emotional awareness and where you are, find yourself. And again, do a temperature check for yourself. Where am I? Be honest with yourself. Like, am I blaming someone? And this conversation could be internal. You don't have to have it. These conversations I have with my clients, I encourage them. Some of them are a little more reluctant, so I have to kind of go, you know, slowly a little bit. But if you're doing this on your own, look it up and say, where am I? Where am I today? And if you're discouraged, that's okay. If you're angry, that's okay. If you're jealous, that's okay. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of desperation, whatever that is. Obviously, if you need some professional help, you know, call a therapist, or a coach, but if it's something really personal that you need some help, please call a therapist. And you start to see a shift in your life. All of a sudden you feel lighter, like I said earlier. You start to smile more. You start to connect with happier people. And I see it all the time. I love to walk out in nature. If I'm walking by the beach, I love walking. And if I'm in a bad mood, I tend to see people that are in a bad mood. I say, thank you. They don't say thank you back. I said, okay. But when I'm in a happy mood, I just last week, I was in a great mood. I live in Austin, Texas. It's spring and there's flowers, these wild flowers everywhere. There I'm walking, I'm smiling. And guess what? I met some amazing people that were there. I met this photographer taking pictures of the butterflies. We chatted. It was great. And then I met a birder. I guess that's the proper term. Someone that likes to watch birds. And she showed me with her amazing binoculars. Like, oh my God, I could see that red cardinal. I could see the small little pecks. What did I do? I went home, got on Amazon, and I got myself a pair. But I went home and I was like, oh my God, that was complete strangers. And I had great conversations with them. I felt good and they felt good because I was resonating at a different frequency. But again, when I was, and again, we're not perfect. We're going to be up and down, you know, but when I was or I am in guilt or jealousy or anger, I get more than that in my life. So if you could take that with you, whatever you're carrying, that's what's going to come out more into your life. So if you bring guilt, anger, you may get that more in your life. If you bring joy and happiness and just bring awareness, and you're going to get that more into your life. I hope that made sense. I hope I was able to help you. Again, try it out. This is not something you're going to get right away. It's not a switch and voila, work on it and just look into it and do, again, a temperature check for yourself and start putting it into practice. Because, you know, once you start seeing it, like Wayne Dyer says, you know, people say, if I see it, I'll believe it. Let's flip it. When I believe it, then I'll see it. Stay tuned for the next one. I'm Carlos Martin. This is Leadership Evolving.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
And welcome back to Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about a lot here. There's no we today. It's just me. We first started with emotional awareness and what that is. It's just bringing more literacy into our emotions instead of just concentrating on anger and sadness and joy. It was more of maybe it's frustration, right? Maybe there is just you're worried, or maybe it's discouragement or disappointment, whatever that is, that helps us to better understand ourselves and better deal with that issue that we may be going through. The next thing we talked about in the second segment was perception becomes our reality. Whether it's not necessarily about being right or wrong, is whatever we perceive, either how we perceive ourselves or perceive others, that becomes our reality. So it's not necessarily about being right or wrong, is our perception. So the people that we might be leading, they might have a different perception than us, than what how we perceive ourselves. And that could create a huge disconnect when we're talking about leadership. And then we went a little out there, so hopefully people stayed with me on that one, which is the emotional energy and frequency and how we become kind of like the antenna, if you will, of frequency of what you're putting out there in the universe, and in essence, of what you get received back. For example, the low frequencies or desperation or fear, jealousy and anger and discouragement. And if you're feeling that way, you are that antenna, and you're probably going to be coming across people that are in the same frequency, opposed to maybe you're in appreciation mode, you're in passion and in positive belief or happiness, then you begin to attract those, which is something beautiful. So if you missed it, go ahead and rewind it and look back at our segment three. So now we're going to go to our fourth segment and our final segment. And thank you so much if you've been sticking with me. Really appreciate it. Triggers, patterns, and emotional reactions. So what does that mean? So now we're in the EQ space, the emotional intelligence space. And I forgot his name, but I'm going to have to put it down at the bottom somewhere. But he's a professor at Yale and he studies EQ and he talks a lot about this. So our triggers, our personal triggers, what are those and how do they come out? So when I talk to clients, they're like, oh, I'm very aware of how I am. I'm very aware that I become angry when somebody says that. And I said, you know, and then I ask, okay, tell me more. Like, no, I'm telling you, I'm very aware. I'm aware how I am, but that's how I am. Well, that's good. It's good that we have awareness of how we are, but how do we take it a step further to say, what are my triggers when somebody, you know, we hear that, you know, somebody, you know, press one of my buttons when we have those internal triggers, and whatever that is for you, A, is a trigger. And the other thing is, how is it coming out? How is it showing up, you know, to be able to say, why did that bother me so much? When that person said X, why is that bothering me so much? That's one way to do it. Or what story did I immediately create? So when you're listening to someone, you know, a lot of times we get that personal trigger and then we put a story behind it. But again, our perception becomes all reality. So is this reaction about the present moment or something older? Right now we're getting a lot deeper. I know this is a lot, but this is stuff to, like I told you, you might get more questions than answers for today. And if that's the case, I think that is success. But again, is this a reaction that's from the present moment or an older one? Because a lot of times those triggers. So if I'm talking to someone, somebody says something or like, oh, you know, just not, whatever it is, right? It could be imposter syndrome I'm talking about a comment that somebody said, you know, what is that trigger? Why am I triggered? Again, from that current story or for something old. So that's one segment. And then the other one is, what patterns keep repeating in my life? So I encourage you to ask those questions. And how is that coming out? Okay, so all of a sudden we have this trigger. How's this trigger coming out? I was working with a client of mine and he had these triggers. We're still working on those, but it was coming out as frustration. And what the reality was, or his reality was, that the frustration wasn't necessarily coming from that present moment of the conversation. It was, he was being triggered from something in his past. I know it's a lot, right? So this is not therapy, but there's so much work that you can do to seek to understand yourself, right? Know thyself. So this begins, so we're to become a better leader, better yet, to become a better human being, for crying out loud. Be a better son, a better daughter, a better significant other, a better friend, well, you know, a better aunt and uncle, you name it. It's just becoming a better human being when you get to connect yourself and say, we all have personal triggers. We all have that. Whether we want to admit it or not, that's different. You know, but there's a difference between having that trigger and how that shows up, right? That's very, very different. So when we know our personal triggers and how that shows up, and say, for example, it's coming out as anger. Maybe it's coming out as insecurity. Maybe it's coming out as, you know, pushing people back, because now you're protecting yourself. There's an insecurity there and it's showing up. Maybe you become a bit abrasive when somebody triggers something that you may not feel uncomfortable. But you see where you can go with all this? There's so many things that you can start to dig. So if we have that onion, we peel the onion back. When you look at the onion, it's got these huge layers on top. But as you peel it, it actually becomes smaller and smaller and smaller to get to the point or the root of the problem. And not because we're here to fix someone. You're human. You're not an item. We're not here to fix you. But I encourage you to understand yourself a little bit more, understand your emotions, understand your triggers. And then when you understand your triggers, how do they come out? And so now if you understand your emotions, your triggers, and how they come out, you're better able to process that. So for example, if you're in a meeting and somebody pushes your button, that comes out, do you want, and let's say it's anger, and now you're like, okay, I know that's kind of my thing that comes out as anger. You, by then, you already have the awareness, and hopefully you process that, and hopefully you work with a coach or a therapist or maybe an emotional ally that we haven't talked about to be able to work through that. Because again, life or people are going to push your buttons that trigger, that emotional trigger, but the difference is how that comes out and how you allow it to come out. And you can still feel it, but the way it comes out are two very different things. So I encourage you to look into this as you go in. So again, think about whatever conversations, and that doesn't have to be at work either. So when I coach individuals, I coach individuals in their totality. People try to separate the personal from the work. I don't do that. I try to meet my clients where they are. That's number one. Number two, try to create that space for them to be seen and to be heard and to see where they are, right? There's so many things that, again, that we could work on. I feel like I'm losing track here a little bit, but going again to your triggers, and you know, we touched on it a little bit on the patterns. So again, maybe it's a pattern that you're seeing, but if we start to bring focus into it, or awareness or hyper awareness, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm seeing a pattern. At work, this happened, I became angry. I went home, this happened, I became angry. I was at the donut shop, or maybe not the donut shop, you know, maybe at Whole Foods getting something healthy. Something said something and triggered and became his anger, right? So all of a sudden you start seeing the pattern. So again, you don't have to have all the answers right now, but let's throw some curiosity into it. Plant the seeds of curiosity, throw those questions at it a little bit more. But let me tell you, it is tiring. This comes with a warning. It is exhausting. I have a friend of mine, I won't name his name. He said one time that he caught himself walking in front of his wife all the time. And so his wife comes up and he said, why do you walk in front of me all the time? I'm like, oh, I never noticed that. And that was it. So he was telling me the story. And I did ask him, like, so why do you do that? Like, and he said, I don't know. I'm like, well, have you thought about it? Is there something that you walk because you want to protect, or what is it? And he said, I don't think about these things, Carlos. I'm not like you. I don't think. That's exhausting. That sounds horrible. And so I laughed and I said, okay, but that is one thing that we just dismiss things right away. It takes work. And sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to look inward because we may not like what we find. And that's okay. But trust me, we could get through it. If you could do it on your own, if not a therapist, if not a coach or an emotional ally, what is an emotional ally? Someone that could take that space for you and be there for you and create that, again, that space to be seen and to be heard, but also have the skill set to help you go through this. I hope this made sense. And again, if it didn't, that's okay too, right? It's little by little, but they do have compounding interest, and we begin to grow, to look inward, like I said, plant those seeds of curiosity. My name is Carlos Martin. This has been Leadership Evolving, and I thank you for staying with me. And again, hopefully I didn't take you to too many rabbit holes, but I actually encourage you to go to your own personal rabbit hole and ask questions. Is it tiring? It can be. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Again, I'm Carlos Martin. I will see you next time.